Well, our gospel lesson today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the first chapter, verses 18 through 25. It begins, "This is how the birth of Jesus Christ took place. When Mary, his mother, was engaged to Joseph, before they were married, she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man. Because he didn't want to humiliate her, he decided to call off their engagement quietly. As he was thinking about this, an angel from the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because the child she carries was conceived by the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' Now all of this took place so that what the Lord had spoken through the prophet would be fulfilled. 'Look, a virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel.' Emmanuel means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did just as an angel from God commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he didn't have sexual relations with her until she gave birth to a son. Joseph called him Jesus." Here ends the reading of the gospel. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the words of Matthew today, and we thank you for the story of Jesus' birth. As we enter into this new season, we thank you for all the opportunities that you've given us through the word of the prophet Isaiah and the story of what is to come. May the plan you have in place give us and guide us the grace that you need and we need to get us through the rest of the week. In your holy name we pray. Amen. I wonder how many of us here have plans. By plans, I mean, how well are they going? Because that is what this season is all about, right? Planning. We plan this minute. We plan this second. We plan down to the most important detail. That is Advent. We worry more about what the plan is rather than what the purpose of the season is. Then, what if those plans get messed up? Oh boy. It wrecks everything. Why plan if it's not going to be the outcome that we want? Why plan if someone else isn't going to notice? Why plan at all? Because it is human nature. We want an idea. We want. Let's be honest here. We want Christmas here so we can be over and done with it. Sound like a plan? It does to me. This past week, I sat down to watch the Kevin Costner documentary called The First Christmas. I went into it with an open mind, and here's what the description was when I Googled it. It said, "The First Christmas is a recent ABC TV special where Costner hosts and narrates a gritty, historically grounded retelling of the nativity story, blending expert commentary with reenactments to offer a more realistic, less pageant version of Mary and Joseph's journey." Any of you watch it? It focused on faith, resilience, and the human element of the biblical account. Okay. I took a bite at it, and what did I think? Well, I believe there were some things that I agree with and things that were left to the imagination. But here is truly why I watched it. I wanted to see how Joseph was portrayed, because when I read the Bible verse for today, there is one thing that I noticed, that Joseph had a plan, and he was living it. And then, like clockwork, it all went off the rails. He had to get married to Mary. And when you think about it, it's not a great love story from the beginning. And maybe some of you are thinking, weren't all marriages back then like Joseph's and Mary's? You know, weren't they arranged by their parents and family? And maybe it was already worked out? But the truth is, it happened. The documents were signed. The hands were shaken. Maybe there was some money exchanged. And then they went on with their lives. But like everyone else, I'm sure there was some problems, maybe a bit of baggage. You see, Joseph, he was older. Some might even claim that he was a widower. You know, Jesus's half brothers and sisters, and maybe that is where Mary comes in, filling that emptiness, helping with the loneliness. In the end, Mary was ever so young, and she was given to Joseph, and then the story continues. Honestly, I might have made a bit of that last section up. If they can do it on TV and call it a documentary, why not? The truth is this: we really don't know much about Joseph, but what we do know is what Matthew tells us. And what does he tell us? He tells us that there was a plan. When Mary, his mother, was engaged to Joseph, that was the plan. There was a wedding that was going to take place. But like life or plans in general, there were obstacles. And the obstacles that was in their way was that Mary, she was pregnant with a child that was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Yep. Here's this very young woman who's carrying a child. And what does this whole situation do? It interrupts the plan. It is so severe that the plan cannot continue. If there ever was a wrench thrown into a plan, it would be the biggest wrench ever. Friends, here's what I'm saying. That this whole situation isn't just some bump in the road. For Joseph, it is a dead end. And now something needs to happen. There needs to be a new plan, a new approach, a new relationship. There needs to be a way of treating the one who drove the plan off the side of the mountain. Tell me if this is one of your biggest pet peeves. When I'm watching a show or a movie and someone comes in and it's over half done and asks this question, what is happening? I did that to Stephanie yesterday because we were watching a show and that it's on Netflix, that Mr. Bean baby thing. All right, I hopped into that one. And I got up and made breakfast halfway in between the first episode. And I turned around and I asked her, what's happening? And then I thought to myself, oh, I'm doing exactly what I don't like. You know, think about that. We ask the question, what is happening? Or who is that? Or how did we get there? And honestly, this story is just like that. We have completely jumped over plan A and are onto plan B. Who knows how long he was thinking about this whole situation? We never learn how he found out. All we know is that Matthew tells us again, that Mary was with child. Were people pointing fingers and whispering at them as they walked by? Did someone come up to Joseph and say, I hate to tell you this, but Mary? Honestly, how he found out doesn't really matter. But what matters is the purpose behind it. You see, Joseph knew his plans needed to change. He needed to go back to the drawing table. He needed to make a decision. And that decision wasn't going to be easy. Here's what verse 19 says. Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man because he didn't want to humiliate her. He decided to call off their engagement quietly. And why is that? Because of the law. When it comes to being righteous, it wasn't just about being a good person. It was about knowing and understanding the law. It was about obedience to the practices of the people of God, following the rules, following the regulations. These things were laid out by scribes and Pharisees to define the right way to live with that obedience to God. So technically speaking, in this moment, things could have gotten really bad, because Joseph was this obedient and righteous man. And according to the law, Joseph was supposed to expose Mary. She sinned. She could have been so severely punished. She could have been driven out, even stoned to death. That was the law. In all, she was supposed to be disgraced in some way. Well, supposed to be. It was all in order to protect the man from all the shame falling on him and his name and his family. And because of that, he had to do something he didn't want to do, which was to send her to the wolves. But he chose not to. That was plan B. All he wanted in this moment was to dismiss her quietly, to send her back to her family. She would have been embarrassed, you know, a little bit, but embarrassment outweighs the shame that she could have endured. He wanted to keep all that was happening to himself, just tear up the contract, send her home, and all of it would be over. The decision was made. So what did he do? Well, with everything that was happening, he went to sleep. Yep, with the decision made, in his mind, he wiped his hands clean. His mind was made up, so why not catch a few Z's? But something happened that changed his plans again. You know, when I was writing my sermon, I asked this question. When did the term nightmare turn to night terrors? What do you call them? Nightmares or night terrors? I don't know. That question has nothing to do with it. It's just something I thought of when I was writing. It has nothing to do with Joseph. But then again, maybe in his mind it felt like it. Because after the decision was made, he had a dream. He dreamed of an angel. And as a side note, Joseph had an ancestor who was a dreamer. And guess what? His name was also Joseph. And that Joseph was a dreamer. He dreamed himself a princedom in Egypt. He dreamed himself out of and back into the favor of his family. But our Joseph today, he dreamed up a new plan. He dreamed of his new place in that plan. If you haven't figured it out by now, we are on to plan C. And if you know what plan C is, you may think it sounds a lot like plan A. But it is plan A revised. It is plan A resurrected. It is plan A ascended. It is plan A intensified. It is the dream. It is the angel. It's these things that change it back to how it was before. How many of you have ever watched the movie It's a Wonderful Life? If you have, let me explain. There's a dream, right? After this whole dream thing, everything goes back to the way it was. But everything is now different. All of it is exactly the same, but different. Now let's look at Joseph again. He's not like the Joseph the dreamer. This Joseph is different. This Joseph is aware of God's presence. This Joseph is aware that he is part of the plan, a plan that he cannot even imagine, a plan that he cannot see. And because of this plan, he is blessed. He is blessed by an invitation to come alongside the redemption of history itself. And for him, for Mary, for all of us, the transformation of the world. Just think about Joseph's plan A. It was quite simple. Get married, have a few children, do the best he could with what he had. And what does God do? God says that's a plan, that plan is great, but let's make it greater. You will still get married. You will still have a few children. But here is what God gave him. God gave Joseph a part in the salvation of the world. God gave him the opportunity to bring abundant life, eternal life, a true sense of love into the world. This invitation through God was not just because of lineage. No, it was because Joseph was faithful. He was righteous. And because of him, we can all see a glimpse of what faithful living is. And what is that, do you ask? Actually taking time to set aside oneself long enough to hear the invitation of an angel. So let's talk about that. How many of you take the time to pay attention to the angels of God? How many of you take time to hear them singing? Because I think they are telling us something. And what is that? That God is present. That God is within reach. That God is right here. But, yes, there's a but. Between you and me, there is a problem. And that problem is that a lot of us have stopped listening. We have resolved to dismiss the Christ quietly. We cover him up with our busyness and our distractions. We make our lists. We make our plans. We hunt for the right gift. And we do this for the personal satisfaction of making this Christmas special. But here is the hard reality. Just like what the angel says, Christmas, it is already special. All because not one person here can make it any more special than God has already made it. And all you have to do is name it. All you have to do is receive it. All you have to do is make it yours. All you have to do is make it you. Friends, Christmas Eve is just 3 days away. How are you listening? How are you planning? How are you leaving the Christ out of Christmas? Amen.